is we can eliminate this section and say that the applicant will provide a copy of the application to Municipal Water Authority for the Borough of Milford for their review and comment, and all comments must be received within 30 days, period.
I don't think it should be every non-residential application.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. Why don't you see every single one of them? I mean, some of them are so trivial that...
Yeah, they'll get tired of it.
If they're getting what they want, it says everything under 407.
Yeah, any supporting any applications and supporting documentation that are filed under 407.
Which 407 goes back to the broad whole thing. So any non-residential application.
That means everything.
That means everything.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Okay. Well, I read that wrong then. And they can't have 30 days because that's cutting into our time.
Well, it would be running along the same path, but whose obligation is that? And well, we don't get extra time.
I don't want to be changing gears at 30 days.
Right.
That's the problem. I think it should be, if they want to make comments on it, 10 to 15 days would be more likely.
I don't see why we would put a time trigger in there, and why we would put that obligation on ourselves.
I think the applicant under 407 would have the obligation to forward it to
the water authority.
Should the water authorities?
If we're going to ask for the water authority's opinion, why wouldn't this be in conjunction with or ahead of the zoning application and be the applicant's burden?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And bring the application to us with the water authority's comment. Mm-hmm.
So how would you change the language to affect what you're suggesting?
Pretty much the way he's stating it, that will be provided with the application.
In order to have a complete application.
There you go.
I'd like to start from the beginning of where my thoughts are. This is where we're going to be. And the real purpose of this is to try to mitigate the situation that the conditional use ahead of the land development is creating. And that's the reason, I believe that this is the reason why we're trying to fashion this ordinance, is because from a land use perspective, to have the conditional use application without the land development and knowing what they're going to do makes it very problematic for us. So the purpose of this is to encourage them to do as many things as we can ask them to do, so that we understand what's going to happen to make an informed decision about the conditional use. I mean, that's what this is coming down to from my perspective.
Yeah, I agree. And then when we have the water authority at the meetings, it just gets complicated.
It would streamline it
a little bit too. But if they had their,
So the comments from the water authority, but we have to give the water authority. We have to have the applicant give the water authority enough information to make an important decision. The same problem that we're having. We're being asked to give a conditional use. We just don't have enough information. So the whole purpose of this ordinance, from what I see, is to have the applicant do the things that's necessary for us to make an informed decision. It comes down to, if we're going to do that, then I think the people that are going to be involved, be it the water authority or whoever else it is, should have weighed in their comments prior to our hearing.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I do too.
But how do we do that? I don't know. The other portion, the pushback, the problem with this is the whole reason that they're putting the conditional use ahead of the land development is they don't want to spend the money to do the studies and to do the appropriate, and we're talking about noise, we're talking about lighting, we're talking about all kinds of things in this ordinance that are going to require the spending of the applicant's money.
Right.
And that's the reason they're bringing it to us.
And I think you have to understand the nature of the zoning ordinance in the first place. The nature of the zoning ordinance is that when you and your schedule of uses differentiate between permitted uses, conditional uses, and or special exceptions, that's basically telling the person that a conditional use is a permitted use, but it's with reasonable conditions. And it could be denied if it impacts the health, safety, and welfare of the community. Okay? Now the issue is, in a conditional use hearing, the current ordinance didn't require them to do all this. It was always a conditional use hearing is for the purpose of determining whether the use is appropriate for that zone. And if so, we'll let you do that, but now we're going to have a land development. I think what you're saying, Kevin, is you want to see the two run at the same time. Okay?
Well, we've done...
And there's case law that says that an applicant is not required to do that. One is a zoning issue, the other is a health, safety, and welfare issue.
No, and I understand. I understand that,
right.
and that is the crux to the problem.
Right. The conundrum.
That's the problem.
This is so. By us requiring the things that we're asking for in this ordinance,
you're going to get pushback from a developer
that says,
"I don't need to do a hydrologic study." Until I know I can have the use there. Especially in the case of if it's a use not provided for, because then it's technically a special exception.
So what if we did in order for an application to be complete that has to meet section 407, comments from the applicant shall submit it to the water authority.
I'm going to raise a question. Why if it's in the DD district, and it's not anywhere near a protected area under our wellhead ordinance?
Well, that's part of the discussion too.
Why do they need to get notice of any application?
I agree with that.
can we put language in there that it's only in the water? It's only
in the watershed overlay.
The watershed or the aquifer?
I'm pretty sure that's already in 426.
Before we get into the weeds, I'd like to hear what John has to say about the ordinance as a whole.
Okay.
Well, that's a loaded question. In regards to 407, or
in regards to 407, and where we're going with this, or are we shooting ourselves in the foot, or we had a conversation, and basically we were concerned about the mom and pop and the places it doesn't apply, and most of but now we're getting into a whole other.
Yep.
So I think being fair to John with the question that I asked him about that, what are you thinking? How do you feel with this?
Well, I mean, I think putting language in there specifically about the watershed overlay, I think, is critical, because that's really what we're, what's driving part of it, and the referral to the water authority and getting their blessing in 30 days. So I think somehow we have to frame that into the ordinance, that it only applies to the water overlay. I also think that maybe we establish certain thresholds in there about to protect the small applications, because I think there's going to be, I think the language is a little bit confusing about you know, the reuse of existing buildings, and, you know, if we're looking at small operations or small redevelopment, do they have to go through this whole process? And that's how we, I think we need to protect them, because it's not very specific. Maybe we establish certain thresholds about maybe size or redevelopment size or something along those lines. Just to add some language so that the small guy doesn't have to go through all this process, you know, in order to move his application along. If I'm making sense. It's not clear. I mean, when I read it right now, it says pretty much anybody who falls under 407 is going to have to do all these necessary steps.
I think it was it 426?
426 is the watershed.
It kicked in at the threshold of disturbance of over an acre.
Well, that's going to throw you into other categories like your NPDES and all that.
Right.
And maybe that is the number. I don't know. We look at...
disturbance of an acre can be, dependent on the use, can have some pretty serious impact.
Yeah.
So right now it does have, if the proposed activity has no potential to alter the surface or groundwater, such as in the case of a new use in an existing commercial building, which building will not be expanded nor property add impervious coverage area resulting in an earth disturbance of 1 acre or more, which will not change stormwater or groundwater patterns, and which has no potential to contaminate water by virtue of the course of the business use proposed, the applicant shall so affirm, and if the Planning Commission recommends and Board of Supervisors agrees, the applicant shall therefore be exempt from providing hydrogeo studies. So are you suggesting that we add a certain level of building addition that also is exempt in it?
And even a new building, because it's a new building.
I think even a new building, too.
Okay, so what would you suggest?
I think up, like a good number might be up to 10,000 square feet, I think.
I was going to say 8.
Yeah, 10,000 would be a good number.
So this requirement of under 10,000 square feet would then be exempt from the 407 requirements. Mm-hmm.
That particular section is about exempting them from hydrogeo studies.
Right.
It wouldn't exempt them from everything that's in this section. There's a lot here that has nothing to do with hydrogeo studies. Yeah.
Well, that was my point is, you know, the entire section right now, nobody's exempt. I mean, you have to do all 407. And I don't know if there's a way in the front part we could say such projects are exempt from, you know, these sections of 407.
Other than the geological study.
Yeah. Because I think
can you put some sort of a statement in that projects under 10,000 square feet verified by a licensed engineer as to why they don't apply? Mm-hmm. As to you need to have somebody say why they don't apply. Otherwise, this is just going to get to be a matter of somebody, whoever's on the front seat's opinion.
Yeah.
And is that where we want this to go?
And it should require a professional opinion as to why it doesn't.
Yeah, it should be reasonable explanation.
Well, hang on. The whole discussion that when we went over this the last time was so that the little guy didn't have to get an engineer in order to change out, you know, one little piece or add a shed or, you know, something small. And that, so if we start saying it has to be verified by somebody, they've got to go pay one of John's colleagues a boatload of money to get there. I thought that's what we were trying to avoid.
Yeah.
Well, then do we need to go to language like, for retrofit or pre-existing condition?
Well, I mean, if they're going to
I mean, if they're going to put the building up, they're going to have an engineer involved.
You're going to put a new facility in.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have an engineer involved anyway.
Even if they're going to put an addition on, they're going to have an engineer.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
Pretty much you're going to.
So they're going to have to.
I mean, basically, this section is making this all part of the application.
Right, well, that's, and let me ask you this, how unreasonable is it, even on a small thing, to ask your engineer to write a letter saying that this is not appropriate?
It's not unreasonable, I mean, the thing is, you'll have a lot of applicants who, you know, have never even talked to an engineer, right? They want to put up a shed, like the shed issue, right? I mean, there's, you don't necessarily need an engineer, you probably need a plot plan or a survey in order to do that. I mean, I think when you go to real construction, like a major addition, even if it's 2,000 square feet, you're going to employ some sort of design professional in order to develop, you know, plans for that. So I don't think it's unreasonable.
Could you use permanent structure, because you use permanent structures? Like, if somebody wanted to come in and put a shed, that's not a permanent structure, that's just a placement. Any, so, you know what I'm saying? That would take that away from.
I don't know too many sheds that are 10,000 square feet, so I'm trying to understand if we're in the same place as before.
I don't mean that, I mean for the minor thing. Yeah. We're talking about the little guy doing the minor thing.
If the shed was an accessory use, I mean, if it's an accessory use to.
Yeah, but that's in the discussion right now, so that's what I'm saying.
Right, but in this instance, what you're basically saying is that all non-residential, all commercial uses have to meet these performance standards.
But most of these standards, Tony, are not, they're not things they have to do, they're things they mostly don't have to not do. They can't have odors, they can't have noise, they can't emit air pollution. So they're not, most of them are not affirmative obligations, that it's what they're not allowed to do. Or have to disclose or minimize.
They're minimum standards.
Right, and I think that was the whole purpose of passing 426.
Right, was to put protections for the water. But this is just, so really it's 407.11, the water protection part, where, because we don't have our own stormwater management ordinance, that's the section where we're trying to make this balance between not crucifying people doing small projects and having structured guidelines that are not subjective for people with projects that could have potential ramifications. So, but as far as them having to meet the rest of 407, I don't think there's anything much there that, you know, we want to not have them obligated to. It's garbage, sewage.
Odors, mold.
Odors, right.
Hazardous materials is the most important.
Yeah.
Right.
So do we need to just say the hydrogeologic study portion is just for the wellhead overlay and this applies to the entire ordinance? I have to be perfectly honest. I've read this and I've read it, and every time I get done with it, I feel like I should just take my head and shake it because it's
too complicated.
I don't know whether it's taking us around in a circle or it's not. It's just something that I can't put my finger on, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think this,
am I the only one that feels that way?
No, yeah, I agree 100%. I think that the way to go would be to give an area, use the watershed protection area as where they automatically get, you know, that makes sense, where they get the application, and those studies might need to be done because it would have an impact.
And it would still apply to the small business.
It would still apply to a small business, you know, as that, far as I mean, you know.
Because face it,
if you want to build on the aquifer, you're gonna have to.
Well, they don't have to do the hydro studies.
They're gonna have to deal with it.
Well, and when you get to the, well, here you go, 0.8, 0.9, 0.10, 0.11, is smoke, odors, service and groundwater.
That's currently in the ordinance, yeah.
You know, this is all basic, but the truth of the matter is if you do things like the crematory that's actually licensed besides this through the EP, through the Department of Air Quality, or get that guy, you deal with all of these issues anyway.
Yeah, on a much higher level.
You do, well, and now with the size of shop that you're running for the mechanic shop, you're dealing with all of those things.
Yeah, they're in there every other year.
You know, are we saying the same thing over and over again, or, you know, the lighting and glare and that, all these things that are they just specific to 407? Why are we, because we deal with this anyway, right?
But that's the current ordinance.
Huh?
These are all in the current ordinance.
Right. So.
And 407.
Right.
The only things that are changed are the things that are in red.
Right. Well, or the things that are marked with crossouts.
Right.
How about adding a clearance from Milford Water Authority?
No, we don't want to do that because they don't have the authority to clear anything. It's the Board of Supervisors' final decision.
Like they're asking for that, like they want that.
But they don't. They're not entitled legally to that, so they don't get it.
Well, as long as 11 there states that, like a mom and pop store wouldn't have to do it, and we got to change it to where it's even a building,
you know,
or an expansion.
What if you were to just simply take 407.11 and the very beginning starts out all activities involving the possible or potential contamination of surface or groundwater in the section 426 overlay, so that it only applies
to
426.
Yeah.
And then I think you've solved all your issues with regard to 407.11.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
And take number four out completely, or revise number four, which is the comment by Water Authority, to be that the applicant's responsible for an applicant whose property lies within the overlay zones responsible for complying with Section 426 and must receive prior comment from the Milford Water Authority.
That would be perfect. Then.
Yeah. I agree.
Very good.
So if you're in the small area of the township that's not covered by 426.
So is this giving, I'm sorry, Rachel, is this giving us that prior to the conditional use?
Yes.
Yes?
Yep.
That the applicant shall be responsible for sending a copy of the application and receiving comments from the Milford Water Authority prior to the scheduling of a public hearing.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Rachel.
Now, they're not going to like that.
Too bad.
I'm going to tell you that right now.
Doesn't matter.
Because they just want to have 30 days so they can review it and pick it apart. Oh, that's right, this is a public meeting. I shouldn't be saying things like that.
So if you are in a small part of the township that does not fall under 426, let's say, Gary, next door to your son,
mm-hmm.
right? So you could put in a 500,000 square foot warehouse there,
mm-hmm.
and not provide the details of the surface and groundwater protection activities or hydrogeo.
The only protection area,
you could pump a million gallons of water out.
426 right now.
Well, if you remove this,
right, if you're going to do it for the whole township, then this is correct the way it's written. It should apply to all applications, no matter who it is.
Well, in that case, if I was Mikey, you know, if I was your son, I wouldn't be too happy about not having my groundwater protected in my neighborhood. I mean, I fully don't want to crush small projects or go overboard, but I also want to respect the needs to protect the water in all corners of the municipality and for every resident, not just for, you know, today and the future, not just the ones that fall in the 426 area like I do. It is probably 2/3 of the township that falls in that zone, in, you know, the in the broader district. In the broader zone, but there are corners of the township that don't fall in 426.
But how do we?
Then you're right. I'm walking in halfway through, but it sounds to me like then you're right back to just encompassing everything anyway and doing geological studies on everything.
Well, I don't think you have to do the geo study on everything, but we have to find the right language for who gets exempted,
right. So
that it's not subjective and it's clear. Otherwise, every time we try to hold somebody to it, the subjectivity is going to let them off the hook.
My issue is with D, which says that all uses that are subject to NPDES permitting. However, use that's not subject to NPDES permitting, it is subject to 426, may require monitoring wells.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised by that.
And water quality testing.
Water authority?
No, that was from this plant from the Planning Commission.
Yeah. I would say that should really be reworded.
But that says May. May.
Mm-hmm.
With the Planning Commission recommendation at the discretion of the Board of Supervisors.
Right.
So what is the issue with the May there to you?
Because you're basically requiring anybody who is not subject to an NPDES permit to do a groundwater study to determine whether he needs a monitoring well or not. Because how are you going to determine it unless you have some type of groundwater study? I'm going to send that one over to Mr. Fuller.
Well, I'm not sure I understand the purpose of that whole section to begin with.
Okay. So you're in the same boat that I am.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because yeah.
I can understand anything that needs an NPDES permit, absolutely. Disturbance of over an acre is going to require it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're going to anything over an acre is going to be an NPDES permit,
right.
And you have to get that. I guess what I don't.
Although
understand,
maybe not, because they are giving exemptions for up to 10 acres.
Well, that's a subsection, right? So it's monitoring wells and water quality testing. Yeah. And it said may, and it was shall, was changed to shall or will, which I remember hearing has to be shall.
Yeah.
Also be required by the township for uses of activities of an industrial nature, including logistics and manufacturing.
Right.
Uses and activities involving the storage or creation of liquid chemicals over 35 aggregate gallons.
Mm-hmm.
Uses and activities involving storage of fuels. And all uses that shall be subject to NPDES permitting. However, a use that's not subject to NPDES, but is subject to 426, may require monitoring wells and water quality testing at the discretion of the board and the planning commission. So, if it's small, but they're going to be doing something that doesn't necessarily involve storage of chemicals, but still is somehow of concern to the Planning Commission and the supervisors, then it, because it's in the water protection area, then monitoring wells and water quality testing might be required. So your suggestion is?
I think you need to have a foolproof standard, because otherwise you're gonna, you know, I agree with John, that you're going to need to have some type of criteria to measure each application. And if the criteria is going to be an NPDES permit, then let's have that. If the criteria is going to be if you're in section 426, let's have that. If it's going to be both, that's fine. But otherwise, if you keep broadening this anymore, every application's gonna have to be submitted to some type of groundwater study.
Is there a way of linking anything outside the watershed to 407?
No, because Rachel raised a good point before. What about somebody who's just outside there and might be concerned about their own personal wells?
Is there some way of saying if they're dealing in hazardous waste or any type of thing that we'd list in there, that they would have to go by 407?
Well, we have that the way this is written, but what I'm hearing Tony say is that either you need to break D into D and E, all uses subject to MPDES permitting, and E, all uses subject to 426. But this was trying to give discretion to the supervisors and the planning commission to opt somebody in 426 who doesn't need an NPDES permit out of doing monitoring wells.
But I don't think you can do that under 426. You can't opt them out as part of your conditional use.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. If you're in 426, you've got to comply with all the sections of 426.
And 426 requires them to do monitoring wells and water quality testing.
It doesn't require them to do that, but they're going to have to do a groundwater study.
Right.
To show why they aren't required.
So your suggestion is that we take D and just break it into D and E, and if they're subject to 426?
If they're subject to 426, it's going to be, and do you really want the Board of Supervisors making that decision? That's really going to be an engineering decision. So you're going to want to study.
So you don't want to give the exemption.
What are we looking at in a study like that, John?
Well, I guess part of the problem I have with the wording is it may require monitoring wells and water quality testing, but you know, those are things that are, when I read that, I'm thinking those are long-term issues with a project that you monitor. That's not like really a groundwater study.
Right. I think you need to say groundwater studies.
You want to say groundwater study. You want some professional to come and certify or say why this project is not going to contaminate the watershed, right?
Right.
Because monitoring wells and water quality testing is something that you would to a project.
Right, that's something that bad has already happened.
That it has happened, and you're going to monitor it.
And you're going
to
monitor
it. To make sure that you're not creating.
Should it say, should determine if.
Yeah, you could say to determine.
If water quality and monitoring.
Yeah, I think it should say groundwater study. So.
I think you need to do a groundwater study, which would then lead to the possibility of.
Right, because.
Long term.
Because an engineer, because whoever conducts,
you need to say the reason you're going there.
Yeah. Right, whoever conducts your groundwater study is going to make a determination. Readily make a determination that there's nothing that's going to happen on this site that's going to contaminate or cause hazard to the aquifer.
Correct.
And once that's done, and he signed off as whatever it is, whether it's a soil scientist. Professional engineer, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, typically there's hydrologists that will do groundwater studies and provide a statement relative to the use of the property and
correct.
What the ultimate goal is, and whether that's going to contaminate.
That's something they do every day.
Okay, well, but back up to the first part of that 407.11, right, in the red. As the viability and impact of the scope of the project cannot be properly analyzed without this information, and as maintaining preservation of exceptional value in high ground and surface water quality is one of the township's highest priorities, applicants shall provide this at the time of submission of a zoning application. If the proposed activity has the potential to alter the surface or groundwater, including by potentially contaminated stormwater, the developer or applicant shall provide appropriate hydrogeo studies which clearly establish that the proposed use will not cause a reduction in the quantity or the quality of groundwater supplies available to other properties. So that is there already.
Right.
We're already requiring them to do it.
Right.
And then what we proceed to do is we give monitoring well information. So it monitoring wells is not because they've already done something. These are monitoring wells to make sure that their development is functioning the way it's supposed to be, and we catch it quickly if there's a problem, right?
That's ultimately it. It's an after the fact scenario.
But it's a okay, as part of your development, you have to put in your monitoring wells so that if something fails,
yes,
like you stop bothering to change out the filters on your stormwater BMPs, and suddenly we have all this contaminated surface water happening, we're catching it with the monitoring wells when it's getting over to that area that's being monitored, right?
That's ultimately why you do that, yes.
So that's not, we are already asking for the hydro-GEO in here when it applies. What we're trying to do is determine who gets monitoring wells or doesn't get monitoring wells. And we're trying to determine who shouldn't be subject to those rules, who should be exempt, so that we're not necessarily making people do a hydro-GEO study that shouldn't have any needed. So we're telling them here that if they don't need it, they don't have to do it, but we're trying to define more clearly who that would be, because every applicant is going to try to define that as they don't need it.
And right? I guess
we saw that already.
I guess my point is, how do you determine if you don't need it unless you do the groundwater studies?
Does that fall back on Pike County Conservation because they come out to do their thing on it?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No.
If it's in the watershed, you got to get something that says you're not going to contaminate the water.
Right.
Well, I think that would be the goal. Is the project, would produce a report. We'll call it a hydrology study or assessment or whatever we want to call it.
Risk assessment.
Yes. Coming in as to what the issues are.
If you have somebody that's not going to store contaminants or hazardous materials, then there's no risk.
I mean, the difficulty, oil-related places,
right,
and all the oils and stuff that they store, I mean, they have so many guidelines
rules
that they have to follow anyway. So I don't want to penalize the small auto repair shop that, we're going to ask them to do a hydrology study.
Trust me, I understand that. Because if I spill a drop of oil in my son-in-law's shop, I'm responsible for making sure that it's off that concrete, that the sand is over it.
I don't want to take the approach that there's a presumption of water quality degradation merely by the fact that we're building something. And I am asking you, John, can you help us find the line? Because that approach does kind of lend itself to that idea that just because we're building something,
mm-hmm,
it's going to damage groundwater or surface water in some way. And so we have to find, and I think that's not accurate with all of the requirements that are already in place, as you said, Kevin, for making sure the development meets all the standards that apply from 85 other places. How do we draw that distinction?
Well, I think you have enough language in there. I think some of it just is convoluted, right?
Okay.
So simply put, I mean, if a project is over an acre, it's going to require an NPDES permit. It's going to need to meet certain requirements. I think, simply stated, if they're in 426, we require them to provide a risk assessment. I think that's a simple language, is by a qualified professional. Doesn't necessarily need to be a PE, or just a qualified professional provides a risk assessment relative to the development of this project, whether it will have impacts. And then from there, we can make the determination whether further studies are required.
Do you want to work on some of this language and try you and I together?
Yeah.
Try to put
I'd be
this
happy
together.
To do that.
Yeah. If it's that subjective, I see two problems there. One is we had an applicant coming in, and right away, their experts are going to say whatever they tell them to say. And so...
Well, I don't disagree with that.
And the second part is that they're, you know...
Oh.